Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
So I've been in Tasmania for a couple of weeks, and I tell you what, when I go away, I miss this place so much that it is home for me. And if you're new, if you haven't been before, I just want to welcome you in, that we're family here. We're so glad that you guys could come. So recently, I just bought a hammock. And yeah, pretty cool hammock as well. It was one of those outdoor ones made out of like parachute material. And I started to set it up in my backyard. And I'm not the best with knot tying, so I was like to my older brother, Josh, I was like, can you help me? So we're out the back in under our veranda, and we're setting it up. He's sort of showing me how to tie it. And I've tied one side of it, and he's tied the other side. And you can see it's about 3 meters off the ground. It's pretty high. And I got this big wooden chair, and I hop on the chair, and Josh sort of helps me into the hammock. And I'm sort of lying down on my hammock and thinking, like, boy, like, I'm really high off the ground. Like, I hope the, you know, the knot that I tied is holding me. And the wood just started to creak a little bit. I was like, oh boy. And I sort of just like reassured myself, like, nah, it'll be fine. And then my brother starts pushing me. And now I'm just like frustrated. I sort of give him that look and he doesn't really care. And then I wanted to test out the fly net. So I zip myself up and now I'm sort of like encapsulated in the thing. And then suddenly it felt like a blink of an eye, I just fell. And I just crashed, and I didn't know why I was falling. And it was this moment where I was like, what's going to happen? And on the next slide, you can see I crashed into the ground. And I think it was by the grace of God that I actually fell onto the chair. That instead of my head hitting the concrete, I fell into the chair and it smashed into 3 different pieces. And I'll never forget when I fell, Josh and I were just having a joke around, and then it's, Ben, are you all right? Like, the tone in his voice just suddenly changed. It was like this cry of anguish, and it made me think, like, am I all right? Like, I just fell from a higher place, and I sort of checked myself out, and I'm sort of, like, tied up in the fly net, and I was like, Josh, can you untie me? And then when I realized I was fine, I was like, Josh, can you take a photo of me? Like, I had this smirk on my face because I don't know why, but I was fine. And the chair sort of broke my fall and I was completely okay. And tonight, I want to speak about why bad things happen. It's arguably one of humanity's biggest life questions, that why do bad things happen to us? And maybe you might be like me at the top of the hammock where you feel like you're all right, you're going okay. Or you might feel like you're actually falling, that you're headed in a downward spiral somewhere you didn't want to go. Or maybe you've hit rock bottom, you're smashing the concrete and there's been no chair there to break your fall. And to answer this question, this is something that I've wrestled with so much in my faith, that if God's a good God, how can he allow these things to happen? And maybe you're not wrestling with something at the moment, but just open your eyes, that if you watch the ABC News, none of you actually watched the ABC News, but if you did watch the ABC News, you'd see all around the world, war, famine, destruction, all these things breaking out. You see your friends, maybe your own family, going through different things that you can't fathom, that if God's a good God, how can he allow these things to happen to us? And maybe something personally is happening to you. How can he allow that to happen to you? I want to come into Genesis. The book of Genesis paints this powerful picture of God creating the heavens and the earth. And he said, then he created Adam and Eve. And when he created the heavens and the earth, he saw it and it was good. And he created this place called the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve could live in perfect unity with one another in their marriage. It says that they were naked and felt no shame. That they had everything they could ever want, everything they could ever need and desire. But then we know the story doesn't go so well as planned. And we know what happens next. Well, some of us might know that there's a tree called the knowledge of good and evil. And God gives him this command in Genesis 2. Says, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I don't know about you, but I often question God. Why did he put that tree in the first place? Hands up. Who's ever asked God that question? Why was that tree there? If you knew Adam and Eve were going to turn against you, like, you're God, you know the future, you know our thoughts before we even think them. If you knew that they were going to eat from the tree, why'd you put it there in the first place, God? Why was it there? And then as I started to look into it more, it paints such a powerful picture of his love. That the tree is there, so they're given a choice. God loves us so much that he gives us free will. That they could choose what God had for them. They could choose and eat from any of the trees with the fruit. They could live in perfect unity and harmony with God. Or they could choose to eat from the tree and go against him. They could choose to disobey him. God loves his children so much that he offers them a choice. Do we want to choose to obey him and the plans and the purpose that he has for us? What he's paved out for us? The goodness, the fruits that he has in our lives? Or we can choose to turn away from him. And we know in that moment, Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. They chose to go against him. And in that very moment, sin entered the world. That we're born into sin now. Because that one act, humanity is born into sin. That we don't actually learn how to do the wrong thing. That we're actually born that way. That's actually our nature. It's our desire. That we desire to actually do the wrong thing. And in that moment, pain, suffering, and torment came into the world. That death came into the world. Destruction came into the world. It wasn't there before, but when humanity turned away from God, it came into being. And I want to share something quite personal tonight about a challenge that I've gone through. And it's one of the hardest situations I've faced in life. And it's one that I've wrestled with this question. Why do bad things happen? I remember in year three, Mum sat me down and said that Dad was sick, that he had Alzheimer's disease known as dementia. And I could tell you what, at that time I was like, yeah, cool, I don't know what that means. But I could tell you every effect it had on Dad, every effect it had on me and our family. And I remember in year three, going to bed one night and Mum was praying for me and I just started bawling my eyes out. I just asked her, why is God allowing this to happen to us? I was just crying and asking Mum, like, I couldn't really get my words out because I was just in pain, just asking, how is this happening to us? Why? And Mum said, we're going to get through this as a family and we're going to trust God. And I was like, it doesn't really answer my question, Mum. But I knew we were going to trust God. I love Jesus. My family walked that way, but I still was left with that question. Why is this happening? I want to share from John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I love this verse because it promises a few things. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says to them, guess what? You will have trouble. In this world, you will face trials. You will face pain. You will face suffering. But then he says, but in me, you can have peace. In me, whatever we're facing, whatever circumstance might feel like it's dictating our lives, God's saying, you can have peace in that. You can experience me in that. And why? Why can we experience peace in that? Because the last half of the verse, because he's overcome the world. Because what Jesus did on the cross for us, he made the victory. He paved a way for us so we can walk in the victory. That we don't have to be dictated by how we're feeling, what's going on around us, maybe how our friends are going or our family struggles, but we can be dictated by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when I fully realized this, it changed me. That I knew that I was a citizen of heaven. That God actually had eternity in store for me. That he's overcome the world. When we were talking about Adam and Eve in the garden, that he defeated that. He defeated the curse of sin. So we now have victory in him. Such a powerful thing. I remember late primary school and early high school, I was still wrestling with this. Still asking that question, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? And I had pain in my life and I felt like I had a chain around me, but I still loved Jesus and I was still following him, but I sort of had something that was holding me back. And I remember at one Easter camp, me and my brothers were prayed for by one of the speakers and I was just bawling my eyes out and just asking God for his healing hand in my life, just wanting God to touch me, believing that he was an awesome God, believing that he could do mighty, mighty things. And fast forward a couple of years, it was in year 11 when I was sitting next to Dad's deathbed. And it was just me and Dad in the room. And I was just crying out to God saying, show me that your hand is upon this situation. Show me you're there. And I remember, you know, I knew God was there. I knew his hand was on this situation. I'd seen such cool things in the lead up that financially, Mum was only working 2 days a week to support a family of five, but we were always fine. God always met our needs. We were always blessed in that way. And for the last 5 years of Dad's life, he couldn't speak. And one night in his room, he just recited Psalm 23. He just spoke it into being. And his carers were like, what's going on? And Dad was declaring the word of God. And a couple of weeks before he passed away, Mum received a word from God saying, get your things in order, for the end is near. And I remember knowing that Dad was going to pass away. And it was just me and him in the room. And I knew that God's hand was upon this situation, but I needed something personal. Maybe that's you tonight, that you know about God. You know he's done awesome things in other people's lives, but you need it for yourself. And I needed God's healing hand. I needed an encounter with the living King. And what do we do when we want to hear God's voice? We actually pray. And I prayed to God. I cried out to him. And I was just listening to him. Dad was asleep in front of me. And I opened my Bible. Good thing to do when you want to hear from God. And I turned to Romans 8 verse 18. How did I turn there? I don't know. I just opened my Bible. And it reads, for I consider that the present suffering will not be compared with the glory that will be revealed to us. And when I heard this for the first time, it overwhelmed me because I felt like I was suffering. I felt like I was in pain and I couldn't understand why. But God said, I've got glory in store for you. The glory that's going to be revealed to you, that Dad was going to be in home. He was going home. That we are citizens of heaven. And when I knew this picture of eternity, when I knew what God had in store for me, I could experience that peace. In the Bible, it speaks about a peace that transcends all understanding. That you can only receive this peace once you know that Jesus has overcome the world. That he's defeated death on the cross. He's defeated sin's curse. That there is healing in his name. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. This is speaking about what heaven will be like. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more pain or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Such a powerful statement. And then in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4, Jesus, once again, he's speaking to his disciples. And he's getting them in this mindset just to preparing them before the cross. And he says this. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am going. You know the way to the place that I am going. And we had that on the back of the pamphlet when everyone walked in that they were given at Dad's funeral. That Dad wasn't afraid of death. He knew where he was going. He knew that God had prepared a place for him in heaven, that he's actually gone before us, that we don't have to be afraid of death because we know heaven is in store for us, that we are citizens of heaven. I think we need to declare something in this place. You might have heard this saying before. I was speaking to a couple of leaders and they say it a little bit differently, but we're going to do it my way. So I want you to turn to the person next to you, not yet, but in a second, and tell them that God is good. And then they're going to respond with, and all the time. Wait, hold up. No. You're going to say God is good. Then they're going to respond with all the time and all the time. God is good. All right, let's do that. Awesome. Amen. All right. Let's do it together now. God is good. And all the time. Amen. We need to believe that truth. So I have a couple of my brothers here that I love. I have Cam and Patty up with me. And they're holding a rope. And I bought this from Mitre 10, the hardware store. Lovely customer service at Aberfoyle Park. I tell you what, I'm not sure if it was because there was more workers than customers, but I got some good customer service. I hadn't really prepared that, but just came out. So this rope represents eternity. We read about Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he saw that it was good. And do you know what it says? It says, then he created mankind in his very image. I love that statement because when I hear negative words about me, or when I look in the mirror, I can go, of course I'm handsome because God made me in his very image. Amen. Of course you're beautiful because you're made in the very likeness of God. Of course you're a masterpiece. Of course you're God's handiwork because the creator of the universe created you in his very likeness, in his very image. So we get this picture of eternity. What God has in store for us, what he's done. I'm not sure if you can even see it, but I've got a bit of duct tape on part of the rope. And that part of the rope symbolizes our life here on earth. And what society tells us is, you know, most of you are at school, like you gotta get a good education. So then you can get a good job and then you can earn lots of money. And then you can just sort of like live it up in your retirement with, you know, lavish living and you're just comfortable. You just need enough money to be comfortable. And that's what society can tell us, or maybe like, just go for it in your youth, you know, YOLO it, and then you'll be right for the rest of your life. Like, it'll be all good. It's not true. It's not true. And I remember when Dad was passing away, I was so fixated on the here and now. I was so fixated on my situation, I couldn't see past it. All I saw is what I was going through. I had no perspective. But the moment God revealed eternity for me, the moment that he gave me a picture of heaven, was the moment that I could actually step back from my situation and just see all of God's goodness, see his faithfulness, see what he's done for me. And I love when we read about hope in the Bible. I'll often say, like, I hope you have a good day. I don't know if you're going to have a good day or not, but I just say, I hope you do. But when we read about hope in the Bible, it says something that is promised to come. Something that is promised to come, that we know it's happening. It's like me saying, I hope the sun will rise tomorrow. I know it's going to rise tomorrow, unless Jesus comes back. But either way, it's good news. And when we have a hope in eternal life, when we know what Jesus has done for us, it equips us to live our lives here in this part. It equips us to live in any and every situation. It's good news. It's good news. Thanks, boys. That was awesome. For me, I just needed that symbolism, just to know how big eternity is, how big our God is, how big our Creator is. And just to know that what I'm facing, what I'm going through is nothing compared to what my King has already done for me. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53, if you haven't read it this week. It's such a powerful chapter where Isaiah prophesies. He says something into the future. So a prophecy is something that will happen. So he said something, he spoke something into the future. This was 600 to 700 years before Jesus even came. He told us about our Messiah. He told us about our King. He said how he would live, how he would walk, how he would die. He spoke everything to be. And I love when he said, by his wounds we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. That I experienced the healing hand of God, and it's possible for everyone because of what he has done. The Bible promises us, by his stripes, we are healed. Put your hands up if you know Philippians 4 verse 13. Yep, lots of us do. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Some of you are like, oh, now I know it. Yeah, you could have just told me that in the first place, Ben. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's a cool verse. But who knows Philippians 4 verse Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Who knows that one? Two people, they're good. I don't actually know what the verse is, so you've done better than I have. But what I know is chapter 4. I know the context that Paul speaks, Philippians 4, verse 13. I was in America for 3.5 months, and their sporting athletes love Philippians 4, verse 13. They're like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Like, I can beat my opposition because God gives me strength. I was like, do you even know that God? But when we read Philippians chapter 4, it's the end of Paul's life. He's in jail, he's in chains. Paul goes through the craziest things. It says he was shipwrecked 3 times. He spent a night out at sea. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was thrown in prison multiple times just for sharing the word of God. It says he received 40 lashes minus one. 40 lashes was enough to kill a man, they said. He received that, but minus one. He goes through the most horrific things. But in chapter 4, he declares something so, so profound. He says, I can be content whatever my situation. Whatever I'm facing, whatever I'm going through, I can be content. He says, I know what it is to have plenty. He's lived it up. But then he says, I know what it is to be in want. I know what it is to rely on God, to face the hardest things. He says, but I've learned the art to be content whatever my lot. Whatever I'm going through, he says, I know what it is to be content. That he can live with joy in his heart, whether he's living it up or whether he's going through the harshest trials he'll ever face, he can be full of joy. And he sort of alludes to why that's the case. He says something a bit earlier that he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, when I'm going to live here on this earth, I'm going to live for him. I'm going to pursue the plans and purposes that he has for my life. I'm going to walk into my calling, what he's done for me. And then why can he do that? Why can he be content through all situations, all circumstances? Because he knows that to die is gain. Because he knows where he's going. He knows that God's prepared a place for him in heaven. That we need to realize that. What God's done for us, what we're going through, but what is to come. I wanted to share my story, or part of my story, not because I wanted sympathy from anyone. And I'm fully aware that a lot of you have actually gone through harder things than I've been through. But why I shared it is because we can experience God's healing hand in our lives. As Isaiah said, by his stripes, we are healed. Because of the death and resurrection, that he is Lord over every situation that we face, everything we've gone through, everything we're going through, and even what will happen in the future, he is Lord over all of that. Just to know that we are a citizens of heaven, the hope that we have in eternal life. Let's pray, hey? Father, we just want to give everything to you, Lord. We know that we might feel broken, but we know you are the healer. You are so, so good, Lord, that you are a good God. Despite whether we can understand your goodness, we can actually put our trust in you today, Lord. We just acknowledge your healing hand. We open up our hearts to receive your healing right now. We thank you that by your stripes we are healed, that we have victory in your name. We just humble ourselves, Lord. We ask for perspective, perspective that you only give. Bring peace into this building. Where there's unrest, bring your peace. Where there's hopelessness, bring your joy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.